This podcast contains adult language. This is DigitalDarren.com. Today is April the
7th, 2014. Let's talk about these dudes!
Yes!
Oh, wow!
Let's talk about these misguided dudes.
For those who don't know, we did an epic podcast about a month ago titled These Hoes with Calhoun, Double R, Big Mike, and myself. We're just talking about the challenges of dating in Atlanta, the women, and what we think of the women. And so that was one of our most viewed and most listened to podcasts, and it generated a lot of responses from people. And so I just put out some feelers. Anyone who wanted to be on the show and state their opinion and counter what was said in the first podcast had the ability to. And three lovely ladies answered.
I really educated ladies.
College degrees.
I appreciate that. And ladies, I want y'all to go on and talk. And this going to be y'all's show. Y'all going to drive this. I'm going to let y'all say y'all name. We got
Rosé, not one of these hoes,
and Miss Law and Order.
So you guys heard the first podcast for the most part, right?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yes. True. All very right. Degrading.
What were your initial thoughts on it?
A bunch of idiotic comments by some misguided, quote-unquote, men. I'll just say male species.
True.
First of all, what do you define as a hoe? Second of all, if hoes are all you encounter, what does that make you?
True.
There was a lot of discrepancies and mispronounced words, but we'll get to that later.
Okay, all right.
So, where you want to start?
Ms. Law and Order, what you thought about it?
I thought that it was a very, very degrading show. I had to force myself to listen to the show in its entirety because, for one, I was very curious as to the people who were speaking on the podcast. So, I mean, their identity was withheld. And so, with that being said, I would love to do a podcast with those young men just to see exactly, you know, how it is face-to-face just by looking at their personal appearance. What do they have to offer? Because when it comes to conversations, just listening to the podcast, Digital Darren, they don't have much.
Okay.
True.
Rosé.
I'm just going to be honest. It helped me to realize why I'm still single. Because if this is what a good guy is, I just might go 6 feet under.
I just might single. Get me a dog.
I might get that dog they talk Baby. About. Because, I mean, I was just appalled. And I'm a little different from Miss Law and Order. I knew some of the speakers.
Oh, wow.
And to think that they feel the way that they feel. And the language they use. It saddens me.
Let me ask you this, Rosé. The guys that you know from the podcast, when you see them or when you're around them, would you get that perception of them? You know, would they use the word bitches, hoes, dumb hoes? Have you ever heard them speak in
nigger,
that light?
Nigger bitches. I ain't never heard that one before.
That was my first, but of the nigger bitches. Yeah, that was first. But, I mean, some
you
of them I could see. We do, but...
Well, I don't. What is a nigga bitch?
Well, I want to go back to the first question that not one of these hoes posed.
Go ahead.
What are hoes?
Because based upon those good guys' definition, a lot of things could fall into that category.
And two,
including them.
Right. And two, you said, do you have classification for hoes? Like, do we have... Like street hoes, Walmart hoes, educator hoes, high school diploma hoes, GED hoes, multiple baby daddy hoes. Like, what exactly is a hoe? So, are there different categories? Do we categorize hoes, or bitches, or nigga hoes? Mm. Like, how do we exactly
define it?
How do we define it? What do you think? What do you think? Not one of these hoes.
I think we could speculate as to what how they're defining it. But we won't really get the answer until we come face to face with these quote unquote men and get their definition of it. But my thing, one of the things that stuck out to me is, why do you continuously find yourself involved with these hoes? So you attract what you put out there. So are we talking about hoe meets hoe? You know, and then there was a comment made about, this was a discrepancy I found. A comment was made about how there's no power in the pussy. You can't fuck them and keep them. But yet, the same person later on made the comment that
all you have to do is fuck them and make them happy.
Right. So I'm confused.
Is this the same person who said they had a plethora of women?
And then called the same person said they had a plethora of women and said that you a hoe if you had 40 or 50 men run up in you. So
you running up in a plethora of women? Does that make you a hoe? And two, I mean, I guess we're talking about hoes. And my question is, you guys are talking about women referring to them as hoes, but nobody mentioned relationships. So, I mean, if you're driving down the avenue of speaking of hoes, that's what you're doing. You're hoeing, because I've heard nobody yet to talk about, speak on the foundations of starting a relationship to make, to build on.
Wait, let's go back. Yeah, because Ms. Law and Order, they did say, and I'm not certain if it was the one who loved the word hoe or if it was one of his friends, but they said, and I quote, "I play the game like they play. I finesse these hoes." that is what one of them said. So they're playing a game to begin with.
Okay. So basically, if it takes wine and dining, that's what they do. So you like, you trick, basically.
True.
You treat. You play the game.
True.
Because you know what she wants, and in return, I guess you're getting the vagina. You having sex, the pussy. So you like to say. So I guess that makes you not. To me, I wouldn't think you're that smart if you're willing to give somebody what they want so that you can get what you want in return.
Because me personally, out here dating, there are some guys who come to the table ready to play a game. But because I know I don't want that, I don't continue to play the game with them because it takes two or more to participate in the game. So if he's continuing to play the game, he wants to be a part of that. Maybe he doesn't know himself.
And he can't complain about it.
And he's finessing. Like how much?
He's being finessed because in the end, he's mad.
Right, exactly.
So let me ask a question.
Okay, go ahead.
This Digital Darren, I'm going to hop in from time to time and just ask a question. What are you guys looking for? You said the foundations of a relationship.
Right.
So what would you guys consider as the foundations
of
a relationship?
Well, first of all, in a relationship, just not in my relationship, I would hope in our relationship, first of all, when you meet someone, you have to know somebody. Like, you just can't bust out day two talking about this my girlfriend or this my boyfriend or we're in a relationship. You have to date. And I think that is a part of the problem. People aren't dating anymore. I'm not sure if the guys on the podcast, if finessing is a part of dating or if finessing is just that. But first of all, you have to date. And for you to just go on and just say that somebody's a hoe, that's just still just puzzling me, because at the end of the day, what does it make you? Like, I guess it's one of those things where it's a word that you can say a woman is a hoe, but we never look at men. Like, to me, it's the same thing. It's equal. If you're doing the same thing, it's like reciprocity. You're reflected as the same person. Like,
so hoe is unisex.
Okay. So then that's why we got the nigga hoe. That's a true nigga hoe. If you a guy, you a nigga hoe.
Okay. So we're potentially defining hoe as we speak. Okay.
Because,
one thing y'all saying, hoe is unisex, right?
Right. I'm gonna say hoe is unisex are they defining a hoe as a person that sleeps with multiple people? Or a hoe that has multiple men. Like, they still didn't clarify.
Can you have a hoe mindset and not be a hoe?
Yeah, can you think like a hoe but not be a hoe? Because if hoe includes sex and you don't have sex, do you still have a hoe but you have a hoe mindset?
Can you be partially a hoe?
Hoe and waiting.
Hoe and waiting. Okay. Okay.
They say, I just don't understand. I that's what I want my most clarity on, Digital Darren. When we meet, when everybody come together, I want the definition of a hoe. Because it was just, everybody's just walking in circles. I need for somebody to step on the definition.
All right, for this podcast, I guess I have to say what the definition is.
Okay.
And this just for, you know, my interpretation. We'll let the others chime in when we do the unisex conversation. But I guess Ho was saying in definition of a woman who's basically dated a bunch of men and been fucked by a bunch of men.
Okay, so what is a bitch? Because they did say bitch as
okay.
well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does a hoe differ from a bitch?
I think they're synonymous.
Oh, so they were just using it like
interchangeably. Yeah.
Okay, so Digital Darren said that a hoe is somebody, a woman who has slept with a lot of guys or who have dated a lot of guys.
No,
so
dated and slept with.
Dated and slept with. Okay, yeah. So like I think you said.
Yeah, I think in the initial.
It's unisex. Because, I mean, I guess for me, what makes the morals for a man less than a woman? Why can't a man have the same morals as a woman when it comes to preserving their body? But like, what makes you think that you can just stick your dick everywhere and you not be a hoe?
You can have a plethora of experiences, but not be a hoe.
Right, and whether it's oral sex, finger up your booty, you a hoe.
And you know one thing that Ms. Law ordered, as we were talking about building a relationship, and you said you think one of the main components of building a relationship is getting to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, me personally, because I am a dater, maybe a serial dater.
Hold on, let me ask a question. Let me ask a question. It's three lovely ladies here. How many are in a relationship?
One.
Miss Law and Order. Mm-hmm. Not one of these hoes. And Rose, you young ladies are single.
Right.
And do you consider yourselves dating right now?
No. So we have not. I don't.
Not dating a particular person, but do you consider yourself available? I guess that's the best way.
I'm available. Yes. And I'm available. Yes. And so you have three ranges of perspectives here. Now, let me tell you, the guy's approach, let me tell you how, this is not one of these hoes. The guy's approach, now, y'all talking about, well, some of the guys, one guy talked about going to get a dog, but mm-hmm. the approach has to be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I am known for shutting guys down at the approach, because if your approach is not genuine, like, you can just be sincere and say something to me like, mm-hmm. I think you're attractive. I would like to get to know you. And that'll open up the door.
That's genuine, right?
Trying to have some corny conversation. Dude, I don't have time for that. Because if you can't even engage me at the hello, I don't have time to be trying to spend all this time getting to know you.
And if somebody comes in with a mindset of, I'm going to play the game like they want to and generalizing everybody, they're not going to come to you with
mm-hmm.
that genuine, you look nice today, mm-hmm. you're beautiful. They're going to come.
How can you tell when somebody's coming genuine? Because some of the smoother intros may be so insincere because they've had practice. So, like,
let's start with not one of these hoes, because that was her.
Okay, because the thing is this: don't come to me with something you don't rehearse for every female that you mm-hmm. want to talk to, because mm-hmm. I'm not every female. So, mm-hmm. because I am uniquely myself, your approach to me needs to be just as unique as me. If I feel like I could go to the store and pick that up and buy $10 mm-hmm. for a dollar,
mm-hmm.
baby, bye. Miss me with that.
And you know what? Today I had an experience. I was at Walmart and the guy said, excuse me, ma'am. And I turned around and when I looked up and he was looking directly at me, I knew that I didn't know him. Mm-hmm. And so I was with one of my girlfriends. I said, who is he talking to? He said, I'm talking to you. I said, I don't know you. Because clearly, if you were trying to get my attention, the excuse me, ma'am, from 12 feet away, that was going to get ignored. Then he came to me and said, nah, I'm trying to get to know you. No, you don't. You don't want to know me. Because, first of all, somebody made the comment, one of the guys, I can't remember exactly what it was, but they kind of just said, almost to the extent of saying, you kind of almost have to accept anything. Like,
yes, the comment was about settling, and they said that, here it is, you're not going to get 10 out of 10, so you have to know when to settle, maybe
right.
4, 6, or 7, and the difference with men and women is that they're content, and we never get content.
About the settling point. I know we kind of go in a lot of directions. Settling, how do you guys feel about that? Like, because I think one of the points that led to the settling talk was that the ratio to men to women, dateable men to women, or what you look for in a man.
Well, I mean,
so
when
do you start chopping? When do you say, okay, I don't even want to say you have a list, but you have some values or things that are important to you. You guys being on the opposite end of the numbers game, mm-hmm. when do you start chopping off some of those aspects?
For me, I would say that as you get to know yourself
mm-hmm.
more, and that's why I'm not against dating. And I think that some guys, you know, that the word dating can be like misconstrued. So some people feel that dating is somebody using you for dinner or they're not going to waste their time. But you have to get to know somebody. Yeah. And part of that is dating. Like, you're not going to get to know me talking over the phone, texting. I need to know how you act outside in different settings. I need to know how you handle issues, all of that. That's going to become, that's a part of dating. So as I've dated, it's helped me to know things that I can accept and things that I cannot accept. So honestly, for me, my list has gone smaller just from experiences. However, the things that are on the list I know are mostly now non-negotiable. So that may put me in a range where it's even harder to find somebody. Not just necessarily easier, because chopping it down, I just know what I can deal with and what I can't. There are some things that I'm flexible about, and there are some things that I can bend on, but for me, settling has a negative connotation.
With me, character, I'm not settling on.
That's
true. You can keep it. You don't have to say specifically to you, but I guess my question is, maybe at 25 or 26, you maybe had some shallow values that matter to you that may not matter.
But you know, all of that's about living life. Like, once you experience life, not even so much in relationships, after you've kind of explored the world or the city or whatever and been different places, you want somebody who you feel comfortable with going to those different places with. Like, why would I settle for somebody who has always been closed-minded? I'm not going to even say ghetto or whatever, but who's always been in a closed mindset and never have explored those things. And then, I mean, even if I introduce you to it or try to introduce you to it, you're not open to trying it. Like, why would I settle for you when I want to keep exploring life? You know what I'm saying?
And my thing is, you all made the comment about settling. Eventually, men are easier to settle than women. But then, even if a woman decides to settle with certain things, it seems to me, based upon what you guys spoke about, you're using their past against them.
Right. And you know what else I think with guys, and I may be wrong, but when guys see mostly with their eyes, you know, and it's like, you saying settling, but what if you met a woman who was 400 pounds and she was that woman and she did all those things that you look for? She was that woman who kept her mouth shut, the woman who cooked, who kept the house clean, didn't complain because you didn't have a job and you went to go pick up the kids, and you did all those things and you sat on your ass all day. Would you settle for her because she wasn't that beauty model, this video vixen? Because truly, honestly, that's still a definition of settling. You know what I'm saying? Did you dare? You got something to say?
He told his chest. I mean, daring about the nay-nay over here.
I was going to personally.
Okay, go
like
ahead.
Like, me personally.
Okay.
I'm still young-minded in that physical attraction.
Okay.
Does mean something
okay.
to me.
Okay.
And.
But what if she wooed you, though? You see what I'm saying? Y'all say.
See, me personally, I wouldn't even let her get that far.
And I don't think I'm saying like, me personally, if you're attracted to the physical, and that's what's going to keep you going, you need to find the physical. Like, for me, I wouldn't say you're young-minded.
But what if she gets 400 pounds?
And when you I mean, but at that point, that's a different story. You know
but
what
would
saying?
You feel, but would you find yourself because you have
I mean, once you love, at least for me. Once
okay,
I love,
so we
got
to say that for the group podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Once you love, but I say, I'm probably breaking every man out here, but I'm going to speak to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, and I was talking to a friend of my female friend of mine, and she actually broke it down. Like, for males, physical attraction means something. Or, you know, physical to most men, because it's kind of a sign of status, you know.
Right.
So I
exactly.
may be
everybody
guy.
Want a piece on their own.
Exactly. I may be an average guy, but I'm successful in a lot of parts of my life. Not me per se, but just
right,
a guy.
Just in general, right.
Just to show my success, I have. You do it with cars, you do it with this, and then you do it with, you know, you want everything you have to look good, a certain type
right.
of person, in your eyes, you know what I'm saying? So,
I can agree with you, because I think we all have what we are attracted to, because I know somebody recently who I was speaking with, and this person is in their mid-40s, and it was about four of us, two guys and two females, and we all talked about what we look for in a guy, what's our first, you know, what's the priority?
Hold it, we're going to get to that. I'm actually asking that question. Okay. But I did want to go back to a point that Rosé was making. You were saying dating. I think coming from your side, you're saying, okay, you got to get to know somebody. But coming from a male point of view, you do get the girls who just going out because they want a dinner because they don't have anything.
But is that what you think?
That's them hoes.
But no, I'm saying in general, it's, and when we say hoes, I think that there's certain, I think that you guys are looking at hoes being like, maybe girls who aren't educated or girls who aren't.
Well, no, they said that. They came on.
Yeah,
I
guess y'all, they said hoes come in every category. Hoes come in every color, shape, style, whatever. So, but you do get situations where as a guy, you know, some girls make, you could kind of, some girls are doing stuff for being genuine and some girls aren't, you know what I'm saying? So when you get those ones who aren't, and I'm just talking for, you know, some of the guys on the podcast and myself, then of course it turns your attitude because, you know, you may be actually, if I'm, as a guy, if I'm taking time out to go out with you, you know what I'm saying? It must be something I'm interested about you.
But you know what? Go ahead.
So, my question is, as a guy, you know, do you guys go in, cause this is what I found from dating. This is what I believe from dating. I can't say it's true. But to me, guys have almost like a limit on the amount of dates that they're truly gonna invest into a woman, and if they haven't gotten what they want by that time, they're ready to cut it off, and then they probably go talk to their friends like all she wanted was me to keep taking her
and
out, but it's just that, right, but it's just that the woman was not going to give into what you really wanted. So what, I don't take me on 10 dates and think you're going to sleep with me.
Okay, so let's stop there. I'll speak for myself, you know what I'm saying? I say, you know, I don't think, like, of course at some point you do want to have sex, but I don't think it's, in my eyes, it's not, if I like you, I'm feeling you and whatever. I want to be in a position to know that the emotion is reciprocal. So if I know you feeling me and we not fucking, then cool, we can keep kicking it or whatever. But if I feel like we just hanging out and you kind of, sort of.
But that goes into what we were talking about, the three of us.
Did
that
answer your question?
Right.
Exactly. So let's talk about the friend zone, because this is one of the tenets that, and, you know, you guys don't have to tell exactly, but I'm going to ask each one of y'all, have you ever put a man into a friend zone?
I have. True. But I've also had a guy in the friend zone that we transitioned to a relationship. And that friendship was the foundation for the relationship, and it caused us both to, one, still be able to be friends after the relationship, and two, it caused us to be able to tolerate each other's imperfections more because we knew...
You knew each other.
We knew each other.
So, because I was... Grant Walters Auto Sales, we sold a car to a white couple.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, while we were selling the car, you know, just making small talk. I said, how you guys met? And the wife said, they said we've been friends since we were 14 or 13. And so, you know, one of the questions came out of that was, he didn't get into the friend zone with you. And I said this on the original podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, what's that? That's kind of like, who else would you want to share life with other than your best friend?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I guess with that point being said, do you regret putting... Why do you put a guy in the friend zone? And
well,
do you regret putting a guy in the friend zone?
Once you deal with somebody for so long, you guys both have to come to like a reality check and realize, okay, we're good, two good people, but we're not good for each other. I mean, and that's kind of where dating comes in. You date, and it's nothing really being gained from it but fun and laughter, and sometimes maybe even sex. But at the end of the day, you guys just aren't compatible, because a lot of women, we look for, or I can speak for myself, when I was dating, I look for long-lasting relationships. You know, I date to eventually, okay, meet somebody, and we kick it, and we continue on. I don't want to just keep dating, and there is no purpose. So if we don't see a purpose, then, okay, well, you know what? I think you're nice, you think I'm nice, so we're just going to be friends. And it's, I think that's a healthy relationship, because... other than that, you'll be gonna kill somebody. Like, you just start getting, it just gets grimy at some point. Like, you start saying stuff that you probably feel, but you shouldn't say, and you respect that person as a person. So you just kind of keep it cool and you put them in the friend zone.
But with me, how my friends developed into more is because the attraction was there. The physical attraction was there from the jump.
But in the physical attraction, usually dealt when you start dating a person. Like, I get, at least from a male standpoint.
It depends on how you meet.
Oh, true. I could agree with that.
Yeah, I can see that. Because I've had a person that was just a friend. I was not attracted to him physically. Not like he was a bad-looking guy, but he just wasn't my type. But then as we started having more conversations, then I realized, oh, this guy is smart. You know, oh, we can hold a conversation. Oh, we can talk about stuff other than just sport. And so then my, even though I wasn't initially physically attracted to him, I then became attracted to his intellect. Mm-hmm. And that made his physical appearance enhance, it enhanced his mm-hmm. physical appearance for me. So I do agree with you, Digital Darren, that it must be a physical attraction initially. Just for me, I'm only speaking for myself. But there are other things, other qualities a person can have that can enhance their physical attraction. Mm-hmm. But for my friend that transitioned from the friend zone, that physical attraction was there mutually from jump.
And I, okay, so while we're talking about this whole friend zone thing, and I think it ties into Rose's initial question, like, take me on 10 dates, that don't mean I'm fucking. Like, what about
true,
the dates?
True.
What about the other thing for the friend zone? Because, like, at some point, a guy don't want to just be taken alone in the friend zone, like, without letting him know.
I think the guy needs to take the initiative.
Yeah.
But I think that sometimes, I'm just going to finish, and I'm not speaking, I'm just speaking in general.
Okay.
If you going out with a dude, and let's say, you know, and this, you know, we just saying he go out 3-4 dates, y'all seeing each other consistently or whatever. Usually, and you could say an estimate, how long does it take before you determine the guy's in the front? Is not really a real candidate for friend zone.
It just varies for each person, I guess. Because sometimes you date people and
so like after a month, if y'all kick hard for a month, do you have an idea that the guy that friend this guy only gonna make the friend zone?
You really can't know nobody in no month.
If I'm not like looking forward to hearing from you, if your if your call don't make me excited, if we on the phone I'm like and I have to say, yeah, I'm still here.
Right, and that every person moves you a certain way. Like everybody that you meet, you can like them for different reasons. So it depends on what reason you like that person. Like if they make you laugh, or if it's intellectual conversations. It just depends on that particular person, not necessarily what you're looking for to put them in the friend zone, but it's just something about you, especially on how you met, that kind of attracted you to anyway. So as time progresses, you kind of know, like, okay, this not working. Even if it was just a physical attraction, sometimes a physical attraction to even wear off. And you're like, you know what? He handsome, but
because then and then
dumb as fuck, you know?
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what you are attracted to.
Yeah.
Because for me, I'm attracted to someone's personality. And that could be like a gift and a curse. Yeah. You know, you can be a total bomb and we have fun together. When you come up on some money, and you know, so but it's like, how much fun are we going to continue to have for a lifetime with children and you
right.
come up on family money? Okay, but seriously, but I'm attracted to personality. I'm attracted to character. I like a stand-up type of person. And that has come from experiences. Like, I used to didn't look at character as much as until I dated someone with bad character. So it made me have character and hold it at a high regard. So for me, when it comes to somebody being in the friend zone, I automatically know that, you know, when you first meet people, sometimes it can be a little stiff, mm-hmm. tension, conversation, you got to break the ice. But if we're continuing to hang out, I pretty much know that, I know based upon our interactions together, like, where you going to be?
Well, I'm told that I'm too strict. Like, I don't give guys enough chances from the beginning. And
you have any examples or anything?
None that I want to share.
Okay.
And that's something that I have to take accountability mm-hmm. for. And I'm just at the point in my life where I'm not willing to bend. I'm like, okay, moving right along.
Now, so do you think you're saying I'm not gonna settle? Like, you're not gonna settle by, if you bend, do you think that's settling? Like, you're changing?
If I bend, I think eventually it'll be a waste of my time. And I'm mm-hmm. just at the point in my life, I don't have time to waste.
And you know what I think, too?
Can I ask a question? To wrap up the whole friend zone thing? Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you regret, to each of you, we'll start with Rose, since we've been starting over. Do you regret putting the person in the friend zone?
No, and let me just say this because I know how I scrutinized your first podcast, so I'm for sure I'll be scrutinized and crucified and everything else. But I don't regret putting anybody in a friend zone. And again, I know me, I'm a work in progress, but I do know that I have grown a whole lot. And so where I am currently in my life, I just personally feel what's meant to be will be.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it may take a long, I may have taken a longer route, maybe a scenic route, but if it's meant to me to get to that friend, then I feel like that's where I'll end up at. So I don't regret it. And another thing, like, most of the people I've dated, even people who I've dated and may have considered a mate, I'm still friends with them. Like, mm-hmm. I feel that you can learn everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't believe in burning bridges or tossing people away if we couldn't, you know.
I agree.
No regrets. I don't have any regrets.
Miss Law and Order?
I don't have any regrets either. I think mostly because I learned, first of all, it was one of those things like a come to Jesus talk. Like, I first had to internalize what kind of person I was and what I had to bring to the table. And the person that I'm dating, I mean, he accepts me for my good and my bad, my flaws and my flawlessness. But with that being said, I come with some drama. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a good person. I strive to be everything that I can to make him happy, but I have no regrets for the people who I put in the friend zone with. I mean, it's no bad blood, but I know that those people, we just didn't work well together.
And I think if a guy is not comfortable being your friend, he wants to be more, then that's when he needs to take the initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, persistence is a very attractive trait to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I say, oh, we just friends, and you have in your mind, oh, no, you're going to be my lady or whatever, and you're persistent mm-hmm. in making that happen, that is attractive to me. Mm-hmm. That whole...
Action speaks louder than words.
Exactly.
And to me, that goes into a key point that you guys brought up in the first podcast. It goes into letting a man be a man.
Right.
Well, part of being a man is
showing a woman that you want her.
Right. Your husband supposed to be the head of the household, supposed to be able to keep things in order. So that initiative got to start from somewhere. If you've mm-hmm. been a pushover, I don't think you're just going to jump into the the power
position.
Let me go look back at these.
The Barack Obama.
Position, the Barack Obama, like, mm-hmm. no. So I agree with what not one of these hoes said.
And you know what, Rose, I'm glad you brought that up about what they said about let a man be a man. On the previous podcast, someone mentioned about the 70-30, 60-40.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was kind of a debate with the two men about one agreed, the other disagreed. Well, Digital Darren said they kind of were both saying the same thing. And I kind of agreed with the guy who said the 70-30, 60-40 because, again, the first guy who came up with all the bitches and hoes who was saying all that, I can't recall his name because I haven't met him, but he said let a man be a man. Well, if you're letting a man be a man, then the 70-30, 60-40 rule, it applies because, yeah, women do a lot. I'm a woman. I'm a single parent. You know, I co-parent very well with my daughter's father, but in the same token, if I, in a relationship, if I were married, I would expect for some things to be done from my husband. For instance, I would be responsible for keeping the inside of the car clean, but I'm more than sure the maintenance of the car would be done by him because I wouldn't be the one to know to go to a dealership and know exactly what to ask for or even know if I'm getting flim-flam. Like, it's certain things that women just, you just don't do. I mean, you just shouldn't have to do that independent stuff. Granted, I have my own job. I have my own. I might be the girl Lil Boosie talking about. I might be. But
okay.
What I'm saying is I don't want to be so independent that I'm not codependent of a man because I know that's how it's supposed to be.
And then, you know, one of the guys, and I think that this guy seemed to have a better outlook on relationships.
Mm-hmm.
MOB. That was him on the first podcast. But one thing that he said, and I hope he's the one who said it, if not, whomever said it. But he said, girls have forced it to be called the game, and you have to adapt to your surroundings. And I feel that if guys come with this mindset, the bar has been lowered.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that girls are playing a game,
mm-hmm.
and if you have adapted to the game that not every woman plays, then I'm not being offered a fair chance.
And you know what else? And you know what else, Rose? Guys like to ridicule women about, or talk amongst themselves about women bringing extra to the relationship. They bring their past hurt. But when a man is hurt, it's hard to heal up those wounds and those patches. And it takes longer for them to heal. Whereas a woman, we're a little bit more open to kind of starting over, giving you a chance. Like, we don't hoard that hurt. And now in these times, it's kind of like two people coming to a meetup or coming to a meet and greet, trying to date. And if we're both hoarding these feelings of the past, then what are you going to get? You're going to get the guys from the podcast who thinking you a hoe because you want to go on your 10 date. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to think that you're going to have the woman who sees that he's trying to be persistent and try to fuck you. And then you're going to go ahead and put him in the friend zone because at the age that we're at, we're closer to 40 than we think. And so if you want to have a future and have a husband and stuff, you're going to just move on. You're not going to be dealing with all nobody who's still trying. Like, that's adolescent.
She, like Ms. Law and Order said, we're closer to 40. And I want a husband. I want kids. I want a family. But I'm not terrified by being 34 and single.
Right.
Because I feel that I have something to offer. So the settling, back to what they said with the settling or whatever, I'm not just jumping and, as Digital Darren posed the question, I'm not just going back putting unemployed on my list because I'm close to 35.
Right. Like, it's definitely, like,
likelihood of me not having a child or, you know. So I'm sticking to what I believe I deserve. Like, I just cannot settle. And so when I run into guys who want to play the game, I'm going to let them play the game with one of the hoes who would like to play the game with them. But I'm just going to keep it moving. That's just point blank.
And then, too, you know what I think? And this is just a little bit off topic, I think. But when the gentleman on the first podcast, when he started the podcast talking about educated hoes, in my opinion only, when you meet a woman who is educated, she may come with some stuff, but if she's truly educated, she ain't gonna really be bringing all of the things that y'all talking about on y'all podcast. Like, really? And if she does bring them, if she's educated, she's working good for her money that she's making. So why should she feel some kind of way about expecting certain things from the man who she dates? Like, well, why does she have to just
choose? I don't think anything wrong with having expectations, especially if you're bringing to the table what you're expecting out of a guy. Mm-hmm. And we have to keep in mind, we talk about what was it that MOB said?
MOB said that girls have forced it to be called the game, and that you just have to adapt to
You ain't got to finish it. What I hear in that statement is about girls forcing something. I hear a lack of accountability. Because at the end of the day, we all make choices. Mm-hmm. I can't make you do anything you don't want to do. So when you talk about women bringing past hurt to relationships, the fact that you have that mindset means that you've been hurt in the past and you're bringing that mindset to every new situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes back to the whole same rehearsed intro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to hear what you done said to 50 women before me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all are human. We coming with a certain level of baggage, but when you come to that personal accountability and that maturity, you should know when to take yourself out the game until you get over a certain amount of those hurts where you can be open and genuine or whatever.
Right, and that's true because, again, and I think this came, the one with the vulgar mouth, he said, hoes keep choosing the same nigga. And I would dare to say he keep choosing the same girl.
I would dare to say he is the nigga that the hoes keep choosing.
Right.
If you have a plethora of experience with these hoes,
correct,
that means you are the nigga that they choose.
Right, because you are the cookie cutter.
Right. And you keep finessing these hoes. The hoes are hoes off too.
Right. Hoes exactly. Because if you've had a plethora of women and you've had the same experience,
you need to change something you're doing.
Why you mad though? That's what I can't figure out.
And what have you, and this shows to me that person has not grown throughout his experiences, because I once may have chosen the same dude. But at this point, maybe one or two, by number three, you can't come to me with that because I've seen it before, I heard it before. The old saying says, what, shame on you, you fooled me once, shame on me, you fooled me twice.
What I heard was a wounded individual that has not had the opportunity to heal those wounds, and so every new experience, he sees the same person.
And then what I heard is, I may be some dumb, but I ain't plumb dumb.
Because
what that says is, you might get me one time, but you're definitely not going to get me two times.
And so, and so my question, when we all come together, I would like to pose to the entire panel for the first one, do you think you know what love is? Yeah. And I would even start with, do you love yourself?
And you know what else? And then after that,
self-love is the best love.
Self-love is the best love. So if, until you love yourself, they're gonna
stone you, digital podcast.
You until you love yourself, you can't love anybody else. You know, have you? Do you think you've been in love before? I even heard, whoa! I'm sorry, you guys. And then I oh my goodness, this just came to me. I don't know which podcast it was on because there were two that semi-touched this topic. But, and Digital Darren, I was appalled when I heard you believe it. But
the NBA one?
The one who said that you only fall in love twice.
I do believe that. I subscribe to that theory that, and this is going to be a whole nother podcast. I feel like two, no more than three times you can truly be in love.
So, saying that, if you're, once again, you say bringing, hurt, you guys said bringing hurt to the table. Now, if you're coming with a mindset like the four of you, I wonder if you're going in situations with an open mind.
Right.
It's like somebody who may have had terrible experiences, not just in dating, just in life, right, and how much willpower you have to keep bouncing back.
And that goes with knowing how to date. You have to know how to date.
Yeah.
Like, you have to know how to interact with the person. And it's kind of like hit or miss. If they make you mad one time, they don't end the conversation. You right. know, they didn't do nothing just traumatic to you. Okay, I'm going to call it back. And start over because you grown. You don't start call back and you still mad. Why are you even bringing that back up?
Yeah, because I've been in love twice. And I'm happy to say that I have been in love twice. And I don't think I don't have another chance of being in love. Like,
again,
that's so disheartening.
That's a digital dare. And Z theory.
But I can believe that because you know, the first time you fall in quote unquote love, you're young. And well, that's the first love you experience. But we'll say that for some
time. We can do a quick little rundown of the theory. So theory is that you can only fall in love two, maybe three times in life. And count high school, or not count high school.
And
we're
going to say the third time is the person your lifelong love.
Now, it can even be the second time. It could be the point is you can only, is so many times you could really fall in love. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying loving somebody. I mean, well, you can just love them through their wrongs.
And why is there a limit there?
You can't give 100% to everybody. That's not realistic over a long time. So, yeah, you can give 100% to somebody short term. So, like, I can go all in for a month, 2 months, 3 months. But when we talk about years, I can only deal with this. I can give my all for 3 years, and I'm trying to give my all for the rest of your life. Because like you say, at this age, you know, when you get to a certain age, you're dating for life. You know what I'm saying? So how many times can you truly date for life, giving that same
Depending on how early you start thinking you were falling in love.
Well, and that's the point. Like,
there's people who don't find their true love until they're 50 years old.
Agreed.
But what happened to the four women after number two or number three?
You treat them like hoes.
See, that's the point. Like, me, I say I've been in love as a man.
But you hold up 10 fingers.
I've been in love as a man. I've been in love. You know what I'm saying? I can honestly feel like.
So where is she now?
That's on another podcast. Okay. And so all I can say is,
we can have a podcast with the
ex. all I can say is, and again, this is just a theory. And it's because we are going to do a complete podcast on that theory.
Okay.
But it's only so many times you can do so much. And not do so much for that person, but, you know, experience new things, do this. You're going to get your all so many times in life.
Well, how about this? And tell me, I'm honestly trying to understand it. So, like, I've been in love before, more than once.
No, I'm saying you can love. So you can love a lot of.
Like, you'll have relationship A, right? You have relationship A, and you do good things with A, but then as a result of A ending, you learn about yourself, you grow, and then you get B, you do more in B than you did in A, but you didn't know in A that you can even do what you're doing with B.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay, I guess maybe for guys and girls it's a difference, or that's what, like, kind of generic makeup. So, it's only so many times that you will be willing to die for somebody, or in my particular case, your happiness comes from seeing them happy. Like, you don't get that from everybody you date.
That's
where that theory comes into play. Like, we're not talking about, oh, I love this person. This person made me smile when he called. We're talking about love this person. Well, in my definition of love, and I'm telling too much, but my definition of love, one of my main tendencies, you willing to sacrifice your happiness to see the other person happy.
Oh, wow. That's some deep love, man.
And I think that's love.
And so it's only so many times I feel I can do that. I've done to my
and
life.
So are you willing to do it again?
Of course I'm willing to, but I feel like
what,
it's
are you
harder.
Willing to do it three times?
I don't know
and
about
do you
that.
Do you go to your relationship to do that because like, he hasn't, right. And it's hard to do that because you haven't let go of when
right,
you
he
did it the first time.
I might
we're
be.
Not coming
see,
in.
We're not going to go in our digital
right.
dare.
But we're not going to go in our digital dare. But.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's where that theory right. comes from. And so, you know. You
and that's where it comes from. I said you have two people who are hoarder in the past and they can't move forward. And so then it ends. Woman puts you in friend zone. Guy start calling you a hoe amongst his friends. You
and I think
saying?
That's the premise of our discussion that we have here. One of the main issues that we feel the four guys, you're not going into the situations with a clean slate.
Right.
Or allowing the woman to come in with a clean
or are
slate.
They? Make that's something we're just
assuming. Right.
I think you're coming. So I think you come in.
And then you know what my biggest question is? I'm not sure. I think it was two guys on the previous podcast who were in a relationship. And if one of the guys who was using all of the degrading language. If he was one of the guys in a relationship, my posing question would be, is he in a relationship?
Let me chime in because as I said, I do know the
people
who were on that podcast, and he's in a relationship, and I don't think he does any of this stuff in his relationship. I think he may pretend or tell his friends.
So
that
really, that's fake. You know what I'm saying? Genuine.
But I think he's immature in knowing how to love and how to show love. And so he thinks it's cool to say these things and pretend that he doesn't. To me, when somebody loves you, it's pure.
Right.
It's genuine, and they don't care. They'll let the world know
right.
they love you.
I just don't
you.
See how you can love.
So hold on.
I don't know if he loves her or not.
So with that being said, how many times can you do that? Love somebody pure, genuine, and let the world know? Like, do you feel like you would do that with, let's say you date. Like you say you were a dater, so that may mean you date X number. I don't want to say it like that.
I wouldn't consider myself a hoe. Well, or if they call me a date hoe, can you be a date hoe?
Well, you know it's different categories.
Yeah,
so you might be
different category. I may be considered a date hoe. I
would
say serial dater for a while.
Okay, so serial dater, that's the term we'll use. Do you actually think you could have genuinely loved 80% of the guys you see are dated? Don't I know percentage makes me real?
No,
bad,
because
no.
That's the point of me dating them. Mm-hmm. Like, so let's see, of the people, let's
so
say
you
this
said
way,
no,
of the
so
people whom I found myself to be compatible with, of the people whom I found myself to be compatible with through the plethora of dates, the ones whom I've been compatible with, could I have loved them the same?
Could you have loved them? Genuinely loved them.
If we pursued a relationship, yes. Like my heart is open to love, and I don't think the first time I was in love, the first person I loved that person for, as you said, for the sacrifices that he made for me. I loved that person for. I knew that I could cry on this person's shoulder. At the time, I know that I was carrying a lot on my plate, and that person was the only person that I could go and let it out to. That person would do anything for me. So I loved that person for having my back. So that was the first time I loved. The second time that I loved the chemistry, the friendship. That we were friends, if nothing else. So when I loved that person, it was all about us being able to share anything together. My next love, and I would pray and hope that may be my final time, but if not, I look forward to the next time I love. Hopefully, it'll be all of those things together in one, and as said, like, even higher. So, even as not one of these hoes said, all of those things put together, and then an even higher level to show me more about love.
So, and I want to touch back on the theory about you going to fall in love so many times. It goes back to what Ms. Law and Order said, and what all you guys kind of agreed on was that the onus is on the man more times than not to please the woman, right?
No.
I mean, we were talking, it's like the 60-40 rule. I think Ms. Law and Order was saying 60-40. And when they were saying that rule, MOB and Calhoun was, when they were disagreeing, Calhoun was saying it should be 50-50.
Right.
MOB
it
was like,
be 50-50.
But MOB was like, the man is supposed to do more. And so, in that theory, the man can't do more. In my theory, in Zig's theory, the man can't do more every time. And some of the times he can do more.
I agree with that.
And so, that's what that theory goes to.
The man can't do what?
You can't do more as many times in life as you can love somebody. So and so, that's what that theory, again, goes back to. It's like, it's only so many times you can, I won't say give your all, but give your all. You know what I'm saying?
But I've been in love 3 times. I've been in love 3 times.
Again, it's different from a woman's point of view as a male. Because as a male, we're saying
I love hard.
Exactly. When you love hard as a man, is different. Because when you love hard.
Because I say that women are more willing to try again.
Exactly. Like as a man, you're not doing that too many times or whatever.
But then with that. I mean, you have to think of the category of men then. If as a man, if you're not willing to say, I'm going to give love a try again, you want to be single for the rest of your fucking life.
Or you want to be with somebody who settled for you not giving your all.
And right.
That's what settling comes in. But you have to
understand that when you love a person, both people are taking a risk.
Yeah.
Because both people have to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Both people have, that's where that foundation comes in, that where you learn a person enough where you can trust them, you know they won't intentionally take what you say and use it against you later. Mm-hmm. Like they can be the keeper of your secret.
And that's why I think that there's no 50-50. There's no 74, 70-30, 60-40. Like, I don't believe you can go into a relationship with the mindset of how much you're going
to
give.
You just when have you to give your all. Like, yeah. You have to know that I'm here to make you happy. They're here to make me happy. And that's what you do throughout the continuum of the relationship. You do what it takes to make the other person happy. And more so, to make peace within yourself. Like, who wants to be in a relationship full of chaos and arguing and cussing and being called hoes and bitches and, like, who wants to be
but
in
not
it?
Even that, even if a guy doesn't do that for me, I don't want to be in a relationship with anybody who even thinks like that.
Exactly. Like, me either, Rose.
If your mind even operates.
And you know what? If I heard my boyfriend on this podcast referring to women as a hoe or a bitch or anything less than a woman, then I feel some kind of way because, I mean, I would question your love for me. And that's just my honest opinion. Because if you're so openly willing with your homeboys to publicly, worldwidely, WWW this bullshit, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I would feel like, what are you? And I would feel I would have some reservations for sleeping with your ass that night. Let's just say that. Or fucking your dick or keeping the fuck quiet, all right?
Okay, so, at the end, I think they said that men don't change. So if this misguided, dumb smart guy considers himself the catch, I'll continue to.
I'm going to get that dog.
So I'll continue to date.
Let me come back and ask a question. What do you guys consider a good man? Because I think Rose was going to ask that question initially, and we pushed it back to now. So what do you guys consider a good man?
That question can go to millions of people all across the world. You know what I'm saying? To each his own. Somebody who's thinking that man on the podcast calling bitches hoes, they may think they have a good man. So, I mean, I just rather not even comment on that question, Digital Darren.
Okay. I'll say a good man to me is a man that strives to make sure I have that $1 million feeling as much as possible. Not to say that there won't be times I'm like not feeling $1 million, but it's his goal in that relationship to make sure that I'm having that $1 million feeling as much as possible. And it doesn't matter if that means he's doing that 80-20, 70-30.
Yeah.
Because when I have a $1 million feeling,
nothing else
naturally,
matters.
And then naturally, I'll make sure you feel like $1 million.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Rose.
And I would say that a good man
is hard to find.
and I will amen to that. But I would say that first and foremost, a good man is somebody who knows who he is.
Right.
You have to know who you are first.
Regardless of what situation you're in.
Company
you sitting in.
Right. I feel like you have to know you. And you have to respect yourself. Some people don't respect themselves. I feel like you have to respect yourself and others. I feel like as not one of these hoes that a good man knows how, knows me.
Mm-hmm.
Knows my everything. Knows how to make me happy. He accepts me for who I am. As Ms. Law and Order said, he accepts my perfections, my imperfections. He can deal with me, and he doesn't hold anything against me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he understands what it means to be a man. He's mm-hmm. a go-getter. He know how to make ends meet. He's a leader. He's well-groomed. All of those things. He knows how to be the head of the household. And he's a God-fearing man.
And you know what? For me, Rosé, I guess because I'm the only one here at this podcast with the child, a good man for me is a man who knows that it's just not only me. I come with something extra. Like, it's a combo. You're just not doing a la carte. You're just not doing Miss Law and Order. You're doing Miss Law and Order Jr. too. Because we come together. And so, you know, I come with my daughter. So that's one thing. You have to accept me. You're going to date me. But you have to be mindful that I have a child. So you're not just going to expect for me to be available for you at any given time. Because that's just not how my life is. You're going to make me happy. You know, I'm going to make you happy. It's going to be reciprocity. And two, we're going to grow and we're going to learn each other. So if I make you mad this time, then I'm going to learn from that experience and not do that particular thing again. And you're going to do the same thing. You're going to know what love language I speak. It doesn't take a lot of gifts to woo me, but it shows actions. You're going to have to show me. You're going to have to, I like verbal praise. So you're going to have to say, like, you know, just not even you look pretty, because hell, I put on enough lip gloss to know that. But I mean, I need you to say, ask me, how did your day go? Just to be worried about me, you know. So, I mean, a good man, I guess we can sum it up and say, they come, I mean, it just depends on the recipient.
And a good man is willing to grow. Somebody on the podcast said, you can't change a man. Mm-hmm. A good man is willing to grow and change into a better person. Not just for me, but for himself. Because I've been with good men who made me want to be better just by being in the presence.
Exactly.
And thank y'all. Shout out to my ex-boos.
And everybody in the friend zone. Let's see this friend thing popping.
And before we leave, we want to give a shout out to all the bitches and hoes who keeping it real, keep getting finessed by these tricks, because they tricking off.
And I'm just going to say, women, keep your head up. Don't settle. There are good guys out here who aren't misguided, who aren't dumb smart, college degree, but dumb. Ho is not a nigga ho who not hasn't been bitch. Through a plethora
Hey, and we'll love you even if you on the martyr bus, because that doesn't make you less of a woman.
And girls ain't getting away with way too much.
Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all ladies so much for... And if you would like to be a guest, email us at digitaldaron@gmail.com. Digital, D-A-R-O-N, @gmail.com. Remember to check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us all kind of ways. And make sure to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.